Harlequin Audio is proud to bring you Tempted and Taken, a Men of Haven novel, by Renna Morgan, performed by John Lane. Chapter 1. Classic Coach in black, or Michael Kors in plum. For second-hand store purchases, both bags were in exceptional shape, and worked perfect with Daria's skinny jeans and fitted tan button-down. She wiggled her toes inside her grape-colored Chuck Taylors, sorely missing the designer shoes her former boss and benefactor had kept her supplied with. On the meager income her skip-tracing jobs provided, it was shoes or bags, but not both, and never, ever knew. In the end, she'd rationalized purses were quite literally easier to run with than heels, and God only knew when her past was going to rear its ugly head and fire the starting gun. The coach tote sat prim and proper on the edge of her bed. It would call less attention, for sure, but the Michael Kors boho saddlebag with its tassels and gold grommets had a whole lot more sass and was an almost perfect match for her chucks. "Life's about living. I'm counting on you to live enough for both of us." JJ's words. She'd pounded the statement into Daria's head for months, and made her vow she'd never forget them. And living didn't mean blending in. She snatched the saddlebag off the bed and started swapping out the contents from her well-worn Patricia Nash bucket bag with a long hippie fringe. JJ was right. Daria had made it nearly 2.5 years since she'd fled her home in Russia, without one single indication she was still on anyone's radar. Did she need to be cautious and keep her online presence limited? Absolutely. Just functioning day-to-day under JJ's identity was risky enough. Never mind doing something stupid enough to catch the attention of the killer she'd left behind. But that didn't mean she had to turn herself into a shadow dweller who only ventured from her box of an apartment at night. She could live, could soak up every amazing moment of the heat-laden home she'd made for herself in Dallas, Texas, and make a fresh new life for herself. With one last check of her appearance in the mirror, she hustled into the living room, humming the new Bruno Mars song she'd downloaded the night before. She paused beside her makeshift office in the tiny dining space beside her galley kitchen, shook the mouse to wake up her computer, and typed in her password. The sync process for her mail application kicked in the second she opened it. Rather than sit and watch while her overnight spam filtered in, she sauntered into the kitchen for a fresh cup of coffee. Maybe, just maybe, today would be the day she'd hear from Knox. A whole week she'd waited, 7 anticipation-laden days filled with a compulsive need to check her messages on at least an hourly basis. She lost count of the number of times she'd reread his initial response to her first email, checking and rechecking to see if she'd misunderstood his meaning. "I'm always open to business ventures. My software company's got a new release coming out this weekend. Let me get that tucked away and I'll see if I can free up some time to meet." Not a hard no, but not a yes, either. She slid the coffee carafe back onto the warmer, the nutty depth of the rich dark roast scent weaving an element of early morning calm into her anxious thoughts. Sipping the bold brew, she leaned a hip against the counter and savored the words on the whitewashed sage plaque mounted on the wall. The white font was whimsical, but the words never failed to pack a punch. "Dream as if you'll live forever. Live as if you'll die tomorrow." That was her goal, the mission she'd accepted the day she'd claimed JJ's life as her own. And Knox Torin was a pivotal part of her plans, the foundation for the future she wanted to build, or rebuild, as it were. 3 quick dings from her computer signaled the finalized download from her 3 accounts, one for business, one for JJ's personal correspondence, and one for junk mail. She pulled out the simple ladder chair that matched her Shakespearean writing desk. When she'd left San Diego behind, she'd brought very few of JJ's possessions with her, but this was one of her favorites. Finished in rustic cherry distressed wood, it was a stronghold of old-world elegance in her otherwise frugal existence. Her new life had been born behind this desk, masterminded by the real JJ Simpson, her own guardian angel. She forced herself to work through the spam folder first. Sales she tucked away for reference later. Outlandish claims for fly-by-night software and cheap clothing outlets she deleted with a weird...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?